Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Colossians, the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians. We are now concluding our study of this great book. I hope you have been here for all of it and you are tucking away what God has for us verse by verse. And now we are in the seventh verse of the fourth chapter, and we'll begin there. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brothers who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, take your word, touch our hearts, challenge and change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. It takes a lot of people to get the work of the Lord done. Now, Paul is known throughout the world, but Paul didn't work alone. In his writings, you will find lists of names, and these names are often his helpers in the ministry. And that's the case here. Paul thanks them. I don't know if you've ever thought about taking time to thank all the people it takes to make ministry take place and happen in a church. We are blessed. I'm so very thankful for all of you that help make our ministry go forward, all of you that help make our ministry a success, and all of you that help lift up Jesus. Everyone that comes to Sunday school is a blessing. We need those that lead in Sunday school. Praise God for our teachers. But we want to get back to organizing our classes. We want group leaders working in our classes. We want outreach leaders in our classes to help reach and take care of not only our own, but help us reach new people for Jesus. And those of you that are working in those responsibilities, praise God for you. Our Awana workers that diligently work with children on Wednesday nights and get them the Word of God and play with them and allow them to have a great time circled around Jesus. Then we have our Northside kids in the summer, and we're continuing to bless children there. We have our children's choir and the workers that are there. We have all the people that work in Vacation Bible School, nursery. Hallelujah for the nursery. We are thankful for each and every one of you that work in the nursery, those that are working in the nursery now. They are working there to free up parents to be able to be here and get the Word of God, and they are a great blessing. Children's church workers, those that are in women's ministry, those that are in our choir, praise God for our choir. Our instrumentalists, those that work in our food ministry, those that help when there's a death in the church family or even outside the church family, those that make sure that there's food to minister to that family and make things a little bit easier on them. Thank you for what you do. All around, there are people that do the work. There are those that count the money. There's our treasurer. There's Pam in the office and our staff. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. It takes a lot of people doing a lot of things to make it look like it just happens. And without you, we would not be able to carry on. Thank you for what you do. Thank you because you lift up Jesus in doing it. Thank you, deacons. Thank you for walking beside me and helping to hold me up and helping to hold up our church family. The list could go on and on. The list here is a picture of lives that were lived out for Jesus. Reading this list tells us there was a whole lot of activity going on. Now, in a church ministry, not everybody does the same thing, but what they do for Jesus is an important thing. And so if you do my thing, great. If you don't do my thing and you're doing somebody else's thing, that's great too, as long as Jesus is the one that's exalted. And we want to exalt him in everything we do. We're so thankful that we can continue to exalt him no matter what age we are. We're thankful for our glory group that meets and for all of our senior adults that are involved in ministry, how they continue to bless hearts. Perhaps someone in these lists of people that we have named in our church have ministered to you. Well, perhaps some of those that Paul mentions here will minister to you. They can be grouped, and so we're going to group them. They're ministers, actually messengers. In this passage, there are two messengers that come to light, two men that are talked about as people that are messengers of the good news. There's Tychicus and Onesimus. Tychicus and Onesimus. You thinking about a child's name? Try Tychicus on for size. Tychicus is called a brother, a faithful minister, a faithful servant of the Lord God. He was Paul's right hand during this time. He was the one that Paul leaned on and the one that kept Paul moving along. He had a very caring heart. Do you have a caring heart? You know, I've known some people that were very hard-hearted, but as you come close to Jesus, he will soften your heart and give you a heart for other people. Tychicus had that kind of heart. The Bible says specifically that he was faithful. He had a faithful ministry. You know what is missing from most churches, from most church people? Faithfulness. We need faithful people. We need people that you can count on. We need people that you can count on for all that is done for the Lord. Faithfulness is the key for Christian service. The Bible says, moreover, it is required of servants that they be found faithful. You may not be the most talented person in the world. You may not be the most talented person in your country. You may not be the most talented person in your state. You may not be the most talented person in your city. You may not be the most talented person in your house. You may not be the most talented person in your church, and you may not be the most talented person on the row you're sitting on today. But you know what you can be? You can be faithful. We need people who will be faithful day in and day out. You know, we want to grow a church. We can't grow a church if we don't have faithful people to show up. You know how you get to be a faithful church of running over 300? Having a faithful church that runs 299. Faithful people. If you don't show up, there's no way to grow on top of you. We keep trying to replace you. We need people that will be faithful. We need people that are faithful in all areas of work. Listen, it's great to have nursery workers, and we want more nursery workers. But it doesn't do us a whole lot to have a lot of people signed up for the nursery if we don't have a lot of people show up for the nursery. Have you ever thought about how difficult it is to have Mark's job, to be trying to lead the choir? You see, in a choir like we have, they're not a paid choir, they're volunteer choir, and so you never know who's going to show up. It's hard to sing four-part harmony if you only got two parts. Listen, every Wednesday night when the choir rehearses, he never knows who he's going to be rehearsing with. Never know who out of those group will be there on the Sunday. And yet, my goodness, how great they do all the time. And on a Sunday, it doesn't matter who shows up on Wednesday. You don't know who's going to show up on Sunday until you see the whites of their eyes. By the way, some of you need to help out in our choir. Amen. We need people that will sing along and praise the name of Jesus in song. But we need you to be faithful to it. And may I say, we do have a lot of faithful choir members, and we praise God for you. We need people that will be faithful in Sunday school classes. The only way to fill your Sunday school class up is to have faithful people that show up so that we can add to that number instead of replacing the number. It's important. It's important in every worship service. If you have a responsibility, if you have said yes to any responsibility, be faithful to the responsibility you've told God you were going to do. By the way, if you join this church, showing up is your responsibility. And we need you to show up. And if you're online out there somewhere, we need you to come in here. We're glad you're listening, but we need you to show up. Tychicus was an Asian Christian. He served God in whatever way he could serve God. He was willing to do whatever the chore was. They didn't have email in that day. They didn't have snail mail. They had Tychicus mail. Tychicus was the carrier of the word of God. You see, he carried the letter to the Ephesians. He carried the letter to Philemon. He carried the letter to the Colossians. He is the carrier of God's word. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you need to be a carrier of God's word. You need to be getting God's word out. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, on the heart. We're living in a world where people don't even know what the Bible is. No, they don't read the Bible. People say, well, what's the best translation of the Bible to get? Well, which one will you read? People aren't reading the Bible. But I will tell you what they do. They're watching Christians. And what they get out of the Bible is what they see in you. So what of the Bible are you showing them? What are you ministering to them out of your life of God's word? See, we're all to be messengers of the gospel. Tychicus was such. In verse 8, Tychicus was also to know their circumstances. He was to watch people and know what was going on in their lives. By the way, that's why we need group leaders in our Sunday school classes to help know what's going on in the lives of our people. It's not a matter of being snoopy. It's a matter of being caring and a matter of comforting and a matter of knowing what's happening so that we can better minister to people. That's why we have deacons in place to help minister to people. They are not lords of the church. They are servants of the church, and they are individuals that seek to minister to those where they find need. That's what Sunday school teachers do. And we have these levels of ministry and levels of individuals trying to find out what's going on, what the need is. And it's when you share those with me that I know what's happening. And that helps me better minister to those that are in need. It takes all of us to do the work. Verse 9, we have a familiar name, Onesimus. Now, it's familiar if you've been here because we've talked about him before. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Now, Colossians came to know Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He ran away. He wound up in jail with Paul. What did Paul do? Paul won him to Jesus. Onesimus grew in the Lord. He took care of Paul there, and then he ministered as Paul directed him, and he sought to minister in the Lord. Think about this man's life. Onesimus was a slave. He became a criminal. Then he became a convert to Jesus Christ. And then he became a companion of Paul and other believers. God used him. The gospel of Jesus can turn a heart around. You may not think you could ever be used for anything. I'm here to tell you, God can use your life. And it doesn't matter what your past has been. It matters if you're willing to surrender to Jesus. In Philemon, Paul said, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. If he owes you anything, I'll pay it. That's what Jesus does. Jesus takes our sin debt that we owe, and when we come to him, he settles it with his own blood. Onesimus was a guy with a past. You got a past? You know, a lot of us have a past we don't want anybody to know about, and that past that we're ashamed of, that past where we've gone the wrong way, and we wonder what our lives can be. Well, Onesimus had a questionable past, but God was able to use him. You see, Jesus is able to forgive you. He's able to put the past away, and he's able to use you. Don't you listen to the devil telling you you'll never be anything for God. Jesus died on the cross for God to accept you as his own child. How much can you be for God more than his own child? And as his child, God will use your life. And so Tychicus and Onesimus were messengers. You need to be a messenger. And then Paul tells us about greeters. Verse 10, Aristarchus, another one of those great names for parents to remember. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greet you. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. These probably are Southerners because they're doing that Southern thing. Paul's writing and they're saying, tell them we said hi. Paul says, these are workers with me. They have blessed my life. They have comforted me. The word comfort, maybe you know that word, paragaric in the Greek. A tonic, a relief. These people have been an encouragement, a relief for Paul. You know, some people bring you down. You know those people? Some people add pressure on you and they stress you out. Oh, but some people lift the stress. Some people bring comfort. Some people bring joy. Listen, some of you will never know what it means for you to walk into God's house with a smile on your face, greeting other people in Jesus. It just brightens other people up. It's a blessing to others. Well, these were blessings to Paul and to others. Aristarchus was with Paul in tough times. He was with him at Ephesus when Paul almost died. He was with him on the ocean voyage where the ship went down. Aristarchus was right there. You see, Aristarchus was a guy you could count on when the times got tough. If there was a difficulty, he was there. If there was a hardship, he was there. If there was a disaster, he was there. Paul could count on Aristarchus to be there. Can God count on you to be there? Our choir has a song sometimes they sing that says, he's an on-time God. Then it says, yes, he is. I like that song. Well, I want to tell you that God got a hold of Aristarchus, and Aristarchus became an on-time Aristarchus. He was there when he needed to be there. You know, some people, when the going gets tough, they get going. They just spread out. They disappear. God's children should be there. You know, we talk about first responders as those when everybody's running away, they run in. Well, let me tell you, friend, we need to be there when people are hurting. We need to be there when people are in crisis. We need to be there when, you know, and you can say, well, let the preacher do that. Well, I'm happy to do what I can do. But the reality is some of you are far closer to other individuals, and some of you can have a far greater impact than I could ever have. And so God wants to use you. And yes, I'm willing to be alongside you. Mark. In Acts 12, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they finished their ministry, they went off again and they took John Mark with them. Paul and Barnabas had chosen Mark. What a great thing for a young guy to be picked to go on a mission trip with Paul and Barnabas. Wow, I would have loved to have been there with them. Well, to hear those stories, you need to learn, first of all, to keep your mouth shut so you can listen to them. And so they would talk, and he would listen, and things got a little heated. Things got tough. In Acts 13:13, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. You know, when I told you that we need to be the people that are there when the going gets tough, or when the going got tough, John Mark went home to mama. He deserted the mission. He made things tougher on Barnabas and on Paul. Well, in Acts 15, there was another trip, another time for another journey, and Barnabas was determined he was going to take John Mark with him. He was going to give him another chance. He was going to put him back on the road and try to grow him up in the Lord. Paul said, not with me. I'm sorry, you can take him if you want to, but he's not going with me. He dropped the ball on us once. I'm not going to give him a chance to drop the ball on us now. Well, the contention became so much that they split. Paul and Barnabas, who were so tight, formed two teams instead of one. Well, you know, this passage kind of tells us that good men can sometimes disagree but still glorify God. Their purpose was glorifying God. And I do believe this is why we know these guys were Baptists. Warren Wiersbe said that he was driving through a small town, and there he was pleased to see Harmony Baptist Church, sweet little church, just sitting there in the middle of town. He drove a little further, and he saw New Harmony Baptist Church. And he said, oh, well, maybe they had tough times. And then he drove a little further, and there was New Harmony number two. Well, listen, sometimes churches have trouble because of egos instead of following the Lord. These guys were just trying to follow Jesus and make it work. And so Barnabas was willing to put his life into growing up John Mark. Paul was not ready for that, and so they went their separate ways and had ministries, both determined that Jesus was going to be glorified. Now, three men are helping John Mark. Barnabas helped him. He was the son of encouragement. He encouraged John Mark. Paul, yes, Paul helped him. Paul pushed John Mark to be greater in his commitment. And Peter. Peter was the one that led John Mark to the Lord. Peter had a ministry in his life, and it is very likely that John Mark found his way back to Peter, and he found his way back to Peter. He may have heard Peter say something like this, I'm so sorry, John Mark, that you failed, but let me tell you my story. The enemies of Jesus had taken him, and they had taken him away, and I was afraid they were going to kill him right there, and I followed from afar, and then I was warming myself by a fire, and they asked me if I was one of his followers. I denied Jesus. I don't know why, but in that moment, I turned from Jesus. He's God, and I turned from him. My life was worthless at that point. But when I heard that Jesus was alive from the dead, he sent a message to tell me that he was alive. And Jesus picked me up, and Jesus forgave me, and Jesus put me back to work. And John Mark thought, well, if that can happen to Peter, it can happen to me. Listen, I want you to know, if you're a believer and you've gotten away from God, Jesus can pick you up and put you back to work for him. He can use you again, and he uses John Mark again. I'm so glad our God's willing to pick us up. Will God give you a second chance? Oh my, I've had so many I stopped counting. I am thankful my God is willing to forgive. And he is willing to forgive. And his blood is greater than any sin you have ever committed. And he can forgive and he can restore and he can use your life. In 2 Timothy 4:11, take Mark. And Paul is saying, and bring him, for he's profitable for me for the ministry. Well, John Mark grew in the Lord, and Paul realized that, and he said, bring Mark along. He's going to be a good worker with me. He gives instructions. Verse 10, welcome him. You know, sometimes when a person has slid away from God and gotten sin in their lives and gotten away from what they should be, they're afraid to come back into the church. They're afraid for what people are going to say. I have watched you greet people and welcome people warmly. That's what we should do. Don't ever give anybody coming into God's house a cold shoulder. Give them a warm welcome. You know, we're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. And the same Jesus that had to shed his blood on Calvary's cross to save you and to save me is the same Jesus that shed his blood to save whoever else is out there. Let's bring them in. Let's pull them back into God's work. And it may be that you turn a backslider into another servant for Jesus. Verse 11, Jesus, that sounds funny, doesn't it? A guy in the Bible named Jesus, but he wasn't Jesus. This is Jesus called Justice. You see, Jesus was a very common name. Oh, but there was only one that we bow to. This man, Justice, had the name of Jesus. Everywhere he went, he carried the name of Jesus. May I tell you, everywhere you go, you need to carry the name of Jesus. You need to wear the name of Jesus. You need to live for the name of Jesus. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you? We believe this was the pastor at Colossae. It says he had a zeal for them. He had a desire for them. He wanted the best for them. Well, that's what a pastor should do and should desire. In verse 12, that you might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, how I want that for our Northside Baptist Church, to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, Paul's doctor, sidekick. Sherlock Holmes had Dr. Watson, Paul had Dr. Luke. He wrote two books of the Bible. Luke was a well-educated man. He was a professional man. Listen, don't shy away from carrying the gospel to people that are professionals, especially doctors. Anybody that can tell you to take off your clothes, put on a robe, and sit in a cold room, you can ask them about Jesus. Find out if they know Jesus. It may be an opportunity to bring them to Jesus. And God may have put you there for that reason. Well, Luke laid his profession on the side to live for Jesus, and he was a doctor for Jesus. Then in verse 14, and Demas greets you. Demas is mentioned three times in the Bible. He's mentioned here in Philemon 24. He's a fellow laborer. But in 2 Timothy 4:10, there's disturbing news. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, Demas was a believer, he was a church member, and he took the world over Jesus. What a sad thing. As far as we know, Demas never came back. Well, we have 1,300 members on rolls at Northside Baptist Church. There are many out there. I'm praying that they'll come back. Now, listen, please understand, I want people back with Jesus. It doesn't matter whether they come to this church or some other church. I just want them back with Jesus. And it's okay if they come back here. We need to reach people for Jesus. We need to greet them into the kingdom. So there were messengers and there were greeters and there were others. Yeah, others. I didn't have another title. There are others. Nymphas. He opened his house and started a church. Is your house so much a place of comfort for God's word that a church could be there? That's what happened for Nymphas. He started a church. Brothers who are in Laodicea. You know, their names are not mentioned here. They're not in the list, but the church is mentioned. And it refers to other churches. It refers to our church. God's word, you see, is to all of us, to all churches of all times. It is a personal letter to our hearts. It is to change our lives and make us more like Jesus. And so Paul didn't name us on this list. My friend, there's another list. The most important list to have your name on is called the Lamb's Book of Life. When you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is written there, and once it is written there, it will never, ever be removed. And so the most important list for you to be on and for me to be on is the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know your name is written there? If you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, it is absent from the pages of the list. And more than anything else, you need Jesus. You can't serve him. You can't know his comfort. You can't know his blessing until you bow before him and know him as Lord and Savior. And so today, would you come to the Lord Jesus? Would you invite him into your heart? If you're in the room, just come forward and say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together and Jesus will save your heart this very day. If you're a believer and you've gotten away from the Lord, maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar and turn your life back to Jesus. If you want to become part of our church family, come. God gives an invitation to your heart. Would you respond? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move in our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Right now, Father, draw us to Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?